Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Monday edition. It is a mock draft Monday because it is draft season. We'll check in with our partners at the Draft Network. They drop a fresh mock draft every Monday. There's a three-round mock. Will the 49ers still be drafting the third round? Coming into this thing with only one pick in the first round of those three rounds at 31 overall? Maybe. A little trade action maybe in Kyle Crabb's mock draft. So we'll talk about that. We're going to focus a lot on free agency as we get close to the new league year. We should have some news about franchise tags and free agents and maybe some trades potentially this week. And we'll know about the collective bargaining agreement. That vote will happen this week. We're going to specifically look at the running back position on today's show. What's currently on the 49ers roster? Could there potentially be some movement there? Is there room for maybe a free agent to join the San Francisco 49ers in 2020. So we'll look at the free agent class. We will look at the current 49ers roster at the running back position. And then segment three, some mailbag. I like how we did it last week. A little mailbag in every episode. Save that for the end of the program. And I got a lot of good questions already from Twitter. I think there's some emails as well. So we'll get into all of that on today's program. You can find this show on all of your favorite podcast apps, just like any of the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NFL that I host alongside former NFL scout Matt Williamson. And you can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. That is the best place to get a hold of me and drop these mailbag questions. Yeah, I'm starting with running backs. We're going to skip right over quarterbacks because I think we all know who's on the roster. We all know what looms with some rumors out there. But it's Garoppolo, it's Mullins, it's CJ Beathard. Nothing changed last year. If the 49ers were going to trade Mullins or Beathard, I would imagine their stock would have been highest last year because they actually played in 2018. They didn't play at all in 2019, so I don't know if teams are going to be hot and heavy after the 49ers backup quarterbacks, but who knows? And then there's the other chatter out there about some other people that could potentially join the 49ers and replace Jimmy Garoppolo. But until we actually get some hard news and evidence of that, we will leave that stuff there. So it's Garoppolo, Mullins, CJ Beathard at quarterback, and it doesn't make much sense to get any deeper into that on today's show. So I'm going to skip over quarterbacks. We're going right to the running back position after we check in on the mock draft, because it is mock draft Monday. Kyle Crabb's of the Draft Network putting together a three-round mock, and there are some interesting tidbits in this mock draft before it gets to pick 31. If you want to hear more about that, Locked On NFL, check it out on all of your favorite podcast apps. We'll get deeper into this mock and some other interesting things that happen here from Kyle Crabb's mock draft six. He's already dropped six mock drafts. This is what I love about the Draft Network is they're doing this from the summer all the way through. A lot of places that cover the draft, they're just now starting to get some scouting reports up there. They're just now starting to have their first, second mock drafts and some big boards and talking about this class. These guys have been breaking these players down from the year before's film, starting in the summer, and now adding to their 2019 tape reviews that they're doing of all these prospects. So it's really cool. Every week, Mondays, they drop a new mock draft. This one from Kyle Crabb's. And I like what happened here in this mock draft for the 49ers. And it's actually not far off from what we saw last week in Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network's mock draft. Also did three rounds. Also had the 49ers trading out of pick 31. And in this one, Kyle has the Chargers moving back in from round two into late round one at pick 31, trading with the 49ers. 37 and 71 were the picks. So a second and a third rounder, which is a really nice haul for the 49ers. If the Chargers come calling and I'm in charge in the 49ers draft room, you're dropping down six spots, getting a third rounder. I mean, that's a no-brainer. It's a perfect trade for what the 49ers need right now to add some draft picks to only have to drop down six. And it's the ideal scenario for a team that wants to move up if a quarterback is still on the board at the end of round one. In this one, it's the Los Angeles Chargers that move up to 31 and draft Jordan Love. So what did the 49ers do with, and by the way, I really like this for the Chargers too, if they wait on quarterback, and we've heard a lot of talk about the quarterback frenzy that could potentially happen at the top of this draft. If teams like the Dolphins at five just hold their water and say, you know, we'll wait. We like Herbert. We like Tua. We'll see who's there at five, and then we'll draft our best guy. And in this one, Tua falls, and nobody gets crazy and trades up into the top five, so Tua falls to the Dolphins. And then the Chargers say, yo, you know what? We like a couple of quarterbacks. We think one of them's going to be there later in the round, so we're going to go with the best position group here and go offensive tackle and protect that quarterback. And if you remember, the Chargers last week traded their left tackle, Russell Okung, to the Panthers for guard Trey Turner. So they upgraded a guard, you upgrade at tackle, and then you wait on quarterback, trade back into the end of the first round. They get Jordan Love. I really like that move, potentially for either the Dolphins or the Chargers. And it'd be a little bit even easier for the Dolphins to do something like that. If you don't trade all the way up to number three, if you wait until pick five, you could potentially move up again and get another top 10 pick because they have three first rounders. So infinite number of possibilities here. And in this mock draft, I like the 49ers and the Chargers making a move here. Jordan Love goes to the Chargers at pick 31. That leaves the 49ers back on the clock just six picks later. And you got to believe they'd be drafting from the same grouping of players that they thought would have been there at 31 that they liked, which is why it makes so much sense for the 49ers. In this one, they take cornerback out of Alabama, Trevon Diggs. A tall cornerback that I think would fit really well into the 49ers cover three scheme. Has some similarities to Richard Sherman because he's not a blazer, but he will go. He's a former wide receiver, so he has those ball skills. He'll go pick the ball off. He'll go make plays on the ball, and he'll take the angle to the. You know, the 49ers, one thing about their defense last year, as good as they played in the secondaries, they didn't take the ball away a ton, and there was still a whole lot more times than they took the ball away the year before. So if you're drafting defensive backs for the 49ers, find some players that are good at taking the ball away and have ball skills. And Trevon Diggs definitely has ball skills, and he has the guts to go make plays on the ball and jump routes as well. And he's Stephon Diggs' brother. And, you know, the family business there is being a wide receiver and having hands. And he does have those hands as a former wide receiver. The one thing that gives me pause about Trevon Diggs at pick 37 and this high is that he still hasn't run that 40 time yet. And I just want to see what that deep speed is, because top speed is not his number one trait. But if you're a cornerback at Alabama and a starter, you're probably pretty darn athletic, and he is. So we'll see what he actually runs when he works out. But that's one less check mark that Trevon Diggs has that some other players that are in this range might have already checked those boxes at the defensive back position. Then the 49ers are on the clock again in round three. All the way down at pick 71, they stick in the defensive backfield, and here they go with a safety, Ashton Davis out of California, which is a nice fit. Supremely athletic, some similarities to Jimmy Ward as far as athleticism and size, a little bit taller than Jimmy Ward. He's about 6 feet. I think he's right around 6 feet, 200 pounds. Also, though, Ashton Davis, even though he's a former track guy and should have been someone that you would expect would have blazed at the combine, he didn't run at the combine either. So two players here in this mock going to the 49ers, defensive backs that haven't run yet. And defensive back is a position where the 40 matters maybe a little bit more than some others. It's interesting because if you look at the correlation between 40 times and how good a player is in the NFL, cornerback and offensive tackle specifically are the two positions that are actually the 40 matters for whatever reason. Offensive tackle is because you can see how athletic a player really is at that position, and it doesn't matter as much for, say, running backs or wide receivers necessarily, but for corners it matters because you need makeup speed and you need to be able to run with guys, and then at offensive tackle showing off your athleticism. Safety matters too, especially if you want someone to play that deep center field role. Jimmy Ward is lightning fast, and you need that if you're going to be ranging sideline to sideline playing a lot of deep middle center field as the 49ers ask their free safety to do. So Ashton Davis, I expect him to run really well, but he still, again, has not checked off that box. So that was Kyle Crabb's mock draft, his sixth mock already of this draft season. He has the 49ers taking a pair of defensive backs, as we saw last week, two different defensive backs. And actually, if we're comparing Kyle's mock draft today to Trevor Sikkema's mock draft from last Monday, I actually prefer Trevor's two players that he took. He went safety first, Antoine Winfield Jr. in the second, then went Bryce Hall, cornerback from Virginia in the third. I think I like that combination of two players better than this combination of two players, even though I think Ashton Davis in the third and last week Hall in the third. Those are both really good. I think that's really good value for the 49ers if they're able to get a defensive back that good in the third round. One other note here on this mock draft this week from Kyle Krabs. The very pick after the 49ers took Ashton Davis in round three, Cam Akers, running back from Florida State, went to the Arizona Cardinals at 72. You start talking about round three, and I'm a little bit more on board drafting a running back than I would be in round one. And if Cam Akers, who I think is one of the top four best running backs in this class and could go a lot higher than 72 potentially and has value as a receiver and as a runner and a three down back, if the 49ers do cut, say, Tevin Coleman and try to get under the cap, I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers did go running back on day two if someone like Cam Akers is still there, someone I think that Kyle Shanahan would really like at that position. So just throwing that out there. Don't forget about the running back position because Kyle Shanahan loves him some running backs. All right, let's move on. Speaking of running backs to that position in free agency, look at the 49ers' current roster. Then we'll take some mailbag questions coming up. Man, the 49ers have the weirdest stable of running backs, I think, in the NFL. It's so strange. And they're all really successful for the 49ers on the ground, specifically Raheem Mostert. This is crazy. When you pull up the stats and just look at the straight-up box score, season-long stats, not analytics, not anything deep, just the straight attempts, yards, touchdowns, the number before that is the one that gets me. And that's games played and games started. Raheem Mostert led the 49ers in rushing last year, 772 yards. He averaged 5.6 yards per attempt. He started exactly zero games for the 49ers. And I know the way Kyle Shanahan did it, I think he was really just messing with the media and messing with people the way he did it, because he would have a guy start the game, be on the field for the first play, and then not show up again for the entire first half or maybe even the whole game. Matt Breida got five starts. He carried the ball 123 times for 623 total yards. Most of those were toward the beginning of the year, where Mostert took over toward the end of the year. 5.1 yards per carry for Matt Breida. Coleman started 11 games. So 11 starts for Coleman, 5 for Breida in the regular season. Coleman, third most rushing yards on the 49ers, 544 yards. So they had three 500-plus yard rushers. Coleman, 6 touchdowns. Only 4 yards per carry. 4 yards per carry is not terrible, but when you compare it to the 5.1 and 5.6 of Breida and Mostert, he was a little bit behind those guys. 6 touchdowns is nice. 8 touchdowns for Raheem Mostert, by the way. So, but just such a weird running back group for the 49ers. You don't know what to expect. You go into the Super Bowl, you don't even know who your starting running back is. And I think about week one. Who do you put money on? I feel like Tevin Coleman's always going to be the starter, but Raheem Mostert was the better runner, and it was so clear. By the way, Jeffrey Wilson mentioned it last week, but I'll say it again. Exclusive rights free agent, that was tendered. I think it's only about $600,000, so Jeff Wilson was an exclusive rights free agent, no longer. 49ers tendered him a contract. He's good. He's locked in. Really solid number four receiver, can do a little bit out of the backfield as a receiver. The stoutest runner, I think, for the 49ers. I mean, Tevin Coleman runs hard, and he's a pretty big guy. Jeff Wilson's built, I think, a little bit thicker. Not quite as linear as Tevin Coleman is. 3.9 yards per carry, by the way, for Jeff Wilson last year. Only carried the ball 27 times, though, for 105 yards. Texas route machine out of the backfield, Jeff Wilson. I like Jeff Wilson. So the 49ers have a solid stable of four running backs. But you feel like they're all number twos, right? You don't feel like they have this true number one stud running back, which is why I keep thinking about the draft and thinking about how Kyle Shanahan thinks of things. And if, say, the 49ers want to save the four, I think it's 4.9, right around $5 million the Niners could save if they cut Tevin Coleman. And when you consider that, looking at those raw numbers, he's maybe the third best running back on your roster. He's definitely not the best running back on your roster. I think Raheem Mostert earned the right last year to be considered the 49ers number one, even though he started zero games. $4.9 million in savings if you cut Tevin Coleman. And then there's Matt Breida, who's a restricted free agent. Do they want to pay him the $2.5 million it'll cost to tender him a spot? Do they? I don't know. He was not a factor in the Super Bowl, and all these players that were not involved in the Super Bowl, I'm thinking, wow, this is the biggest game of the year. This was your second most successful runner for your team during the regular season. He fumbled a couple of times, then all of a sudden gets ghosted, and he wasn't a part of the game plan. And I thought he was the best running back at the beginning of the year, and then Raheem Mostert sort of overtook him for that. But I think he's better than Coleman still. But Shanahan loves Coleman, so would Shanahan let Breida go, not tender him a contract? Or if it's a low enough tender, does another team come and sign Matt Breida? I don't know. That's an interesting one. That's an interesting conundrum. And it's going to, I think the 49ers want, and I think if you had to bet on it, they would just let this group roll and we'll see all four of the same running backs in, maybe a rookie late round pick, undrafted free agent that competes with them and is a fifth guy in camp, maybe makes a little noise, who knows? But if you're trying to sign all of these players, Jimmy Ward and Emmanuel Sanders and Eric Armstead, that $5 million for cutting Tevin Coleman, if you really truly evaluate yourself and realize he's not your best running back and you can get that $5 million savings that helps you and could make the difference in keeping Armstead or Emmanuel Sanders or Ward, who are all more valuable players to your football team, I think you might have to do it. And who knows, maybe even Coleman and Breida are gone. I don't know. I just don't know what to think. And it's hard to get into Shanahan's head because of how he used these players throughout the year. Does he want a guy? Does he want to draft somebody on day one or day two of the NFL draft that is his no doubt horse? And then he can use the rest of these guys and deploy them and keep Raheem Mostert as a gunner on special teams and let the other guys be change of pace backs? I don't know. It's amazing that there's not more clarity about the 49ers running back situation right now as we sit in March after they just went to the Super Bowl. Not many Super Bowl teams don't have a running back where you're like, oh yeah, this is how it goes. Here's the one and here's the two. This is the third down back. And the 49ers, I feel like it's odd. The usage is odd. It's a little bit of a hot hand situation. And Kyle Shanahan's not going to cut. They're not going to cut Tevin Coleman, right? They're just not. He likes him too much. That was his starting running back. He kept starting. He's starting him 11 times. It's his guy. Even in the Super Bowl. So if you use that as evidence, Coleman's going to stay. Breida would end up being the odd man out if there is to be one. That's my best guess, just judging by the evidence we have on hand. But I don't know. To me, Coleman is the obvious cut there because of his $5 million salary. $5 million savings could do a lot of things for the 49ers in this offseason that would help them more than the running back position. Then draft a guy, let him compete with the other three, because I really like the other three guys that the 49ers do have. Who's available in free agency if the 49ers wanted to go that route? My favorite guy, and you knew he wasn't going to make the open market as a restricted free agent, but Chargers running back Austin Ekeler has already been re-upped. I think he's about $6 million per year, which is a fantastic move by the Chargers, by the way. And if you listen to the show, you know I don't believe in spending a ton of resources on running backs, whether it's in the draft or free agency. Running backs are so infinitely more valuable on their rookie contracts. But for what Ekeler provides and his ability in the passing game, and for $6 million a year, and then they're going to let Melvin Gordon walk now and not pay him a mega contract. Super smart. I am absolutely on board with what the Chargers are doing there. And I was a little bit bummed that Ekeler wasn't going to see the market because I thought he would be awesome with Shanahan in that offense. And I didn't even mention Jerick McKinnon. The 49ers still have to make, he's kind of forgotten, out of sight, out of mind. The 49ers have to make a decision on Jerick McKinnon. The longer they go without restructuring Jerick McKinnon's contract makes me think that he's going to just get outright cut and the 49ers will save $4.5 million or so there. There is a date, I think it's April 1st, sometime in April, where Jerick McKinnon's contract becomes guaranteed, or at least a portion of his contract becomes guaranteed. So the 49ers have to make a decision by then. Maybe if they feel like they don't have to be under the cap by that extra amount, or Jerick McKinnon's $4.5 million that he would save them by cutting him isn't going to help them right now, they can wait and see how he looks physically maybe in one of those mini camps. I think they have a mini camp right around there before the draft, late March, or I think it's actually closer to the draft though in April. So they probably won't see him on the field, but they might have a better idea before March 1st. And so they might hang out all the way until then before they make that, or April 1st, before they make that decision on his contract. But before April 1st, they have to cut him or restructure his contract. And at this point, the fact that they haven't restructured him yet makes me think that Jerick McKinnon is going to be cut. And that sort of answers Eric's question. I saw that in the mailbag. He said, do you think McKinnon comes back on a restructured deal or cut? And if so, which running back is expendable for trade? And I don't think you can count on Jerick McKinnon at this point. Kyle Shanahan, if he wants a running back that is his weapon in the passing game, maybe it's Breida that gets lost and they restructure McKinnon's deal. But I got to believe McKinnon's the one that gets cut because you can't trust him at this point. And I don't know if by April 1st you'll know anything more about his physical ability. Maybe you could still bring him back at a lower number and have him be in camp and compete for a job there if you still like McKinnon. But he's definitely not going to make what his contract is right now. So I want to talk about some of the free agents on the market, as unlikely as it is that the 49ers would add any of those players, and then we'll get into some more mailbag next. I'm going to read the list of free agent running backs. This is from overthecap.com. They're listed in order of what their salary, their per year salary was on their contract coming into their free agency. So whatever they were making before, this is how they're listed. Lamar Miller on top. Basically, I'm just going to read them all down because it's pretty much like you hear the name, you're like, no, they're not going to spend there. They're not going to spend there. And most of these guys would make what Tevin Coleman makes. Or, I don't know. Hit me up at BD Peacock on Twitter. Are any of the names I'm naming, could you get them for less than what Tevin Coleman makes? And are they better? And I just don't see it. Lamar Miller, no. Chris Thompson of the Redskins. Jalen Richard, already signed by the Raiders. LeSean McCoy, old, no. Carlos Hyde, we've been down that road. No, not a fit for Shanahan. Melvin Gordon, probably going to cost too much. And yeah, no. Theo Riddick, good receiver out of the backfield. He could be cheap. Maybe he's a guy you bring in to compete if McKinnon gets cut, but he's not going to be a big factor in the run game. Peyton Barber, no. Frank Gore, oh, I love Frank Gore. I've gotten a lot of questions about Frank Gore. It hurts me to say this, but it just doesn't make sense for the 49ers plan. Frank Gore is going to sign with the 49ers someday. It's going to be a one-day contract so he can retire as a Niner. One of my all-time favorites, but just doesn't really fit in with what the 49ers have right now. Let's say if Frank Gore goes unsigned into the summer and the Niners have some catastrophic injuries at the running back position, bring in Frank Gore, you know, bring him in. You can at least have your short yardage back, but just not a great fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense, especially in this stage of Frank Gore's career. And it sounds like the Buffalo Bills don't want him back. If Frank Gore still wants to play, though, I hope some team at least gives him a job, because it seems like right now it might be a little bit rough, and he's definitely not going to be one of those first wave of free agents to sign. One player that will be probably a first wave free agent is Derrick Henry. He's going to make a ton of money, so no go for the Niners. Darren Sproles, I believe, is retiring, right? Kareem Hunt's a restricted free agent, so I doubt he will see the open market unless the Browns just don't want to deal with him and, you know, his off-the-field stuff. And probably the 49ers, if the Browns don't want to deal with it, the Niners probably won't want to deal with it, although Kareem Hunt would be pretty fantastic just with his ability as a runner in Kyle Shanahan's offense, I think. Marshawn Lynch, he's going to kick back and maybe come back and help the Seahawks potentially in the playoffs. Help with air quotes. This is not a video podcast, but I put air quotes when I said help because I just don't think Marshawn Lynch really helped the Seahawks much there and probably would help even less next year, even though, you know, I like me some Marshawn Lynch. I don't hate Marshawn Lynch. Tywan Jones, no. Anthony Sherman, Bilal Powell, Isaiah Crowell, Ty Montgomery, Kenyon Barner. Kenyon Drake's going to make too much money. Probably stick with the Cardinals, I would imagine. They want to bring him back, even though they're already paying one guy a whole bunch of money. Amir Abdullah, loved him coming out, but yeah, no. Rod Smith, Robert Turbin, Buck Allen, Spencer Ware. I mean, this just gets ugly. CJ Procise, Tyler Irvin, maybe bring him in. He's a good receiver, return guy. You know, last man on the roster, possibly. See what he has for you in camp. He went to school at San Jose State. David Flewellen, Sonoris Perry, Jonathan Williams, Dwayne Washington, DeAndre Washington, Jordan Howard, no. Wendell Smallwood, no. Devontae Booker, meh. It's just, there's just nothing here, man. There's nothing here. Austin Ekeler, that was my guy. And the Chargers were smart. They locked him up for $6 million per year. And it's just, there's not much there in the free agency. So if the 49ers do lose one of their current backs, you just pretty much got to go to the draft. So you can draft a guy, get some value on a running back's rookie contract. It's the way to go. James says, tell me a surprise move you could see possibly happening, but nobody is talking about. I mentioned this before, and I haven't seen anybody talk about it at all, but the early running back. Since we're talking about running backs today, I would not be shocked at all if Kyle Shanahan drafted a running back at pick 31. I mean, not even trade down, just draft him at 31. And it's because there is a very good chance with the way this class is unfolding and some pretty good running back prospects, but not those guys that are going to go top 10 in the draft. There's a chance that the 49ers just have their straight draft board and are looking at it at pick 31 and say, well, I'll be darned if there's not a running back that's got the highest grade. And Kyle Shanahan loves running backs, and especially if they lose Breida or Coleman. They're probably not going to lose both of those guys, but if they do cut Coleman, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Because if they cut Coleman, that probably means they needed the money because they did their business at the other positions. They re-signed Eric Armstead, and they fit Emmanuel Sanders under, maybe even fit Jimmy Ward in there altogether. And like, okay, well, we got to cut off some of this. We got to cut McKinnon. We got to cut Tevin Coleman. And then they're sitting there, and the best player on their board is a running back. J.K. Dobbins, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, maybe. Cam Akers. I like Cam Akers a lot. I don't know if he's going to go in the first round, but, you know, maybe second or third. I wouldn't be shocked by it. I think that's probably the one that I would say right now that is a surprise move. Nobody's talking about a running back for the 49ers, and Shanahan has spent on running backs. He's spent too much on multiple running backs. He pays his fullback twice what the next highest fullback is paid in the NFL, if that tells you anything. Let's go to Shwilly Illy Illy, who says, what are viable Armstead for player deals you could see happening? San Francisco, always close with Denver, might owe Bill a favor. Rule may want to rebuild with a defensive lineman in Carolina. Shuffle assets with Ballard and Indy's young roster, Cincinnati for Mixon. Exchange with Ravens, swap for Diggs or Odell Beckham. I just think the player swaps are so much more unlikely because if those teams are trying, like, so the Diggs and the Beckham ones, like, those teams are trying to win. So why would they trade away a player for a player? They would just trade a draft pick. So if Armstead goes, it's because it's a draft pick and it's because the 49ers need draft picks because they don't have any second, third, or fourth round picks. I just don't see any player for player trades that make a lot of sense. You mentioned Matt Rhule, though, in Carolina there. Maybe Rhule, because they're trying to rebuild. They don't want to give up draft picks. And Armstead's a young player, and they're like, okay, well, this is what we want to build around, is this style of player. So let's sign Armstead and instead trade one of our players that we don't want to pay in the future. And instead of giving up a draft pick because they want, you know, they want to be hoarding draft picks if you're Carolina and you're trying to rebuild. So maybe the Panthers, I don't know what players on their roster they'd be willing to give up that the 49ers would want, aside from, you know, Christian McCaffrey. The player-for-player trades are just a little bit more difficult. I mean, this isn't Madden. It's just, it's almost always draft picks. It just is. West Coast 57257 says, thoughts on Demaryius Randall as a replacement to Ward. I don't like it because if you're going to spend on a free agent, just bring back your own free agent who's better. You're not getting a better replacement for Ward by going to Randall, and you're still going to give up, you're still going to spend enough money to where it doesn't make any sense unless Ward just doesn't want to come back. If you're going to let Ward walk, I think you got to draft a guy and you got to let Tarvarius Moore play and see what you have there with him, or at least let him compete with the guy that you draft, whether you draft him in the second or third round or the first round, or you draft him in the fifth round, some competition there, and Tarvarius Moore would be a big part of it. And Jimmy Ward himself, actually, which is hilarious, on Twitter said as much. He said that exact thing. He said, look, these two players, and I assume he means Grant Delpit from LSU and Xavier McKinney from Alabama, he said on Twitter, these two players you keep talking about replacing me with, they don't play this style of defense. They're not a fit for the 49ers scheme, basically, is what Jimmy Ward said. He said, if you're going to do it, try to find a sleeper, a steal of a player in the late rounds, and let T. Moore play. And I'm with him, man. Maybe Jimmy Ward has a future in an NFL front office somewhere. Future scout Jimmy Ward. I like it. I think he was spot on there. I definitely agree on McKinney wouldn't be a fit for Jimmy Ward's position in the 49ers defense. I think Delpit could do it. And it's really interesting to see a player talk about what a team should do if they let him go. I don't think I've ever seen that before in Twitter history. So props to Jimmy Ward. Not only was he correct, I think, in his take, but actually had the ability to be introspective and think, yeah, you know what? What would it look like if I left? Most players would just be like too competitive about it. He'd be like, no, you can't lose me. I'm too good. I'm too important. Great tweet, Jimmy. All right, out of time here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back. My schedule's funky again this week. Tuesday show's not going to be in the morning, so if you're planning your Tuesday morning commute, listen to a different podcast in the morning. Wait for me in the afternoon. And we'll continue to break down free agency. There should be some news hitting early this week that we will get into right here. Locked On 49ers.